Now, were you taking oxygen at that point? Did you have some like an oxygen mask on that you could broadcast through, Rod?
I joke about it when I speak to groups. To me, I mean, listen, I mean, the unbelievable moment. But what makes that whole call is Stan White's "Oh My God" right in the middle of it. What a lot of people don't know is that his microphone was turned off. When he screamed that, our engineer behind us could see him about to self-combust and really was on his game, because he knew if he didn't cut him off, you probably wouldn't be able to hear me the rest of the call. So, but you could still, if you listen real close, hear Stan still just giggling like a schoolgirl, and he hugging and high-fiving in the booth. All decorum was thrown out the window at that point, and
it was real energy. It was real energy. Now, it is, you know, I said this coming into the segment. It's been discussed in the past. For a graduate of the University of Alabama and a fan like me, it is the sound of our nightmares, but it's also the sound of true, genuine excitement. I think that's why it was the call heard around the country. That, you know, so many great calls you've done in the past for Auburn football. Of course, I listen to them here on the weekends on FM Talk 106.5. But also, that was, you talked about Stan. I mean, that was non-scripted, unbridled energy, and I think that resonates with folks.
Like the few weeks before with the Georgia game, and the way, well, not the last play of the game, but certainly the deflection and the catch. Both calls, I had no idea what actually came out of my mouth. I had no idea till after I heard it replayed.
So it was like secondhand when you heard it?
Yeah.
You were kind of outside yourself listening?
It was. I had no idea. And in fact, I didn't hear that call really in its entirety where I could sit and listen to it until I was on my way home in the car. They played it after the game when the field was full of fans, and you could kind of sort of hear it. What was really cool about that is that when they got to that play, the crowd who was just going nuts on the field almost came to complete silence, but you still couldn't quite hear it clearly up in the press box. But that was neat, having all those fans, all of a sudden, thousands of them, stop and watch it up on the video board. I joke about it. I should have quit after that game.
You should've definitely stopped.
There's no way anything will match that. You know, I mean, it's just 2 years later, we're still talking about it. So.
Absolutely. On both sides of the state, on both campuses, folks are talking about it. If you hadn't figured it out, talking to the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Rod Bramlett, in studio here at FM Talk 106.5. Let's look forward to 2015. Paul Feinbaum comes on after us. I've heard the prognostications on his show. So many are saying, look to Auburn to win the SEC. Now, is that a blessing or a curse?
You know, I think with some fans, and this you could say this for about any school, a lot of fans like to be under the radar, feel like, oh my gosh, don't put the spotlight on us. And I think there are a number of Auburn fans who feel that way, but I've talked to a lot of groups about it, and they're like, oh my gosh, I just don't know about it. You know, I know we're going to be pretty good, but I just don't like everybody picking us. I was like, you know what, it's time to embrace the expectations, because you'd rather be talked in that light than talked in the light of, hey, you know what? Maybe we can finish sixth in the West this year, that type of thing. So, you know, I think the expectations are realistic. But Wayne and I were just talking about this out in the lobby. You can be really good in the SEC West and lose three games.
Absolutely.
It's just, and particularly this year.
Looking at this, and obviously from your perspective way, way inside, D1 football here, is it just the fact that I'm an SEC homer that I think the West is the absolute toughest? Is it just because it's this kind of, this is my turf and I'll defend it attitude? Or is somebody like you who truly watches this nationally, is that true?
The West and the SEC is unreal. I mean, you show me a team where you can just 100% say they have no shot to win the division. There's not a single one. I mean, I guess you look at Mississippi State, they've been the one that's kind of been picked as number seven in the West. But, I mean, they have a returning Heisman candidate at quarterback.
Yes.
And you know, so it's just remarkable at how tough the division is.
As you deal with people that do what you do for schools outside the SEC, do they ever give you that comment? They ever go, hey, what's it like being there? Or, I mean, are they jealous? Are they complimentary?
Yes, to all the above.
Really?
You know, I think there's a little bit of jealousy there. But those who really appreciate what the SEC is, particularly the SEC West, you know, I think they're complimentary as well. You know, it's just here's another example, the SEC West. Someone is going to finish last in the West that has a coach making $4 million.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Right. There's not a lot of areas of, let's say, in the business world that your company can finish last and you still make $4 million out there. So, yes, yep. it's the top of the game. What about this? Let's talk about the SEC East and West and new leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling? What's your take? Do you think things are going to be the same? Do you think there are going to be a new set of changes coming through?
You're talking about Commissioner Sankey.
I'm
really impressed. He's young. He's energetic. He seems like just an everyday kind of guy too.
Okay.
I think he has a great vision. I think he is, probably a little more, business savvy than the day-to-day competition side of things. He understands the business side. I think maybe
that's pretty
even
big
more.
Business too.
And you need to be that way now. I mean, you need
it's
to have a
business.
Handle. It's a corporation basically that you're overseeing, even though it's college athletics. I'm impressed. Now, what will be the differences? I don't know. I just don't know because the landscape, in particular of college football, it's constantly changing and evolving and getting better across the board. I think what we've seen. Not to get too long-winded here, I think what we've seen in the SEC is they've set the standard in the nation because all of a sudden, I mean, you look at the last couple of years and all of a sudden you're seeing these other conferences step up their game a little bit, become
right.
more competitive.
Is it the rising tide raising all boats?
Exactly. Okay. I think people who say, well, the SEC, they're coming back to the pack, that is absolutely not true.
Okay.
It's the SEC raising the bar and forcing everybody else to either, you know, come along and raise their game or get lost in the shuffle is what I think's happening.
It's an interesting perspective. If you're just joining us, talking to Rod Bramlett, voice of the Auburn Tigers, about this, because I hear a lot of people say, well, swan song's over for the SEC. Mm-hmm. Y'all are finally getting back to, you know, that's all. Your rocket fizzled out at the SEC, and you're not going to win everything. Although, let me point to, you know, the just five-year window mm-hmm. on, and we're not just talking about football. Let's look at other athletics, too. But they say, oh, the rocket's fizzled out, swan song's over, your wings have melted, y'all are coming back down. But you say, in fact, it's just that everybody else has come up.
It's just the SEC raised the standard to a level that you know, where it hasn't been before. So it's taken a little while, but everyone has all of a sudden realized, you know what, we have to put money into facilities. We have to realize that the SEC has set the standard, and we want to be a part of that. We want a piece of the pie. It's going to be much tougher for the SEC to dominate like they dominated those mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 years that you speak of. That, if that happens again, it will be an even greater accomplishment because everyone else is all of a sudden right there nipping at your heels, and it's not because you've come back to the pack. It's because you forced everybody to step up.
This is a fascinating look at the world of the SEC, the macro world of college football through your eyes, because you mentioned the situation Sankey's in. He is. He's running a very big corporation mm-hmm. made up of elements that you can't exactly dictate to. In a corporation, your CEO, mm-hmm. you can call somebody in R&D and say, stop doing that or mm-hmm. do it this way or do such and such. In his situation, yes, there's guidance, there's controls, but you've got a bunch of independent states out right. here running. And I don't mean states like states of the union. I mean these different colleges, universities doing their own thing, trying to do as good as they can do. And you're trying to keep them all like herding cats, I guess.
Well, and every school has different a different philosophy in terms of their leadership. They have they're different in size in terms of enrollment. You know, what are their points of emphasis? I mean, everybody's a little bit different. Auburn, I think, is, I'm not going to say drastically different. Auburn is different from a Vanderbilt. You know, Alabama is different than an Arkansas. And you know, I can't come up with exact ways in which they're different, but it's just different cultures. Different schools have different philosophies. But they all kind of fall under the overall umbrella of the SEC, Sean. And I think that's where Commissioner Slive and now Commissioner Sankey, it's a challenge. But, you know, if Commissioner Sankey does, you know, half the job that Commissioner Slive did, then he's done a great job because he was fantastic.
Coming back, more with Rod Bramlett, voice of the Auburn Tigers, the upcoming season. We're going to get his take on that. And also, what's it like now? New way to decide who's the best in college football. Is that good or bad for Auburn? Is it good or bad for the SEC? Also, your questions, you can text them in. Call them in as well. 343-0106, coming right back on Midday Mobile.
This Fox 10 News update is brought to you by Ward's Liberty Safes, carrying the largest selection of safes on the Gulf Coast, including Liberty, American Security, and Fort Knox brands. For service after the sale, call Ward's Liberty Safes, 471-1137. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along and glad to have Rod Bramlett, voice of the Auburn Tigers, in studio. We'll grab a couple calls for you here, Rod. Let's go to Spanish Fort and talk to John. John, you're on with Rod Bramlett.
Hey, Rod, War Eagle.
Oh, yeah, we got to put a set of headphones on. I didn't put headphones on Rod.
That's forehead. All right.
You would think.
We're good. Hang on.
You think as a couple seasoned broadcasters sitting in the studio.
That's where I plug in, right?
No, it's up under the lip of the table here. Y'all, this is live interaction here. There we go. This is live. Do we have, Dalton, can we have some hold music or something? We'll play that during the break.
That's much better.
There we go.
I feel more comfortable now.
Yeah, now you have headphones on. It's more like, okay, John's in Spanish Fort. You're on with Rod Bramlett.
Yes, Rod, a long-time Auburn fan. Grew up listening to Gary Sanders and Just a Year Out. And past 5 years, I've been listening to you on Saturdays. And I've always wanted to ask you, if you would talk about the contrast, how painful it was for you and Stan during that 2012 season, and then the pure joy of the very next season, 2013.
Well, that's a good question because, Stan and I, the whole crew, we make no bones about it. We're all either Auburn grads or we've been around Auburn Athletics for 20-plus years. And you know what? If people are listening to us get the middle-of-the-road broadcast, then they probably want to go somewhere else because they're not going to get it. But 2012 was very tough. And it was very tough because, you know, we develop relationships with these coaches and players as well. And I thought and still think the world of Gene Chizik. And it was tough watching that team. There was no leadership. There was obviously, and I have no idea what it was, the stuff maybe going on behind the scenes that we just didn't know about. And that team just never gelled. It had talent. Did it have SEC championship talent? Probably not, but it had talent. And you know, you look back and there was the change in coordinator, offensive coordinator, and you tried to go more conservative, traditional offense, and it just didn't fit the personnel. And there were a lot of things that caused that thing to snowball. But, then you flip it over and you get Gus Malzahn back, and there was an immediate unity there and a feeling that everybody was on the same page. And, you know, that 2013 team had its faults on defense. You know, it's defensively it was just okay. It was good enough in the fourth quarter to win some games, and offensively they were terrific. But, like every team that wins a championship in this league, you got to have the ball bounced the right way in at least a couple games. And Auburn's couple games just happened to be the last two of the year. So, for us – it was neat to see a lot of the same young men that struggled and had a tough year in 2012 have such success in 2013. Last year wasn't as good, but again, it was mainly defensive issues. And now that Will Muschamp's here, I think that is why, more than any reason, that Gus Malzahn is really, really confident about this season. Not in terms of, hey, saying we're gonna win every game, but he knows they're gonna have a great chance to win each and every game because he knows they'll be better on defense.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate you phoning in. You mentioned a couple things there that were I need to get some answers to. The first game on the schedule this year that makes you break a sweat.
Louisville. I mean, you know, you Louisville. Look at Louisville. Now, you think Bobby Petrino, offense and all that, but I'm telling you something, their defense is going to be really, really good. And it'll be the first time out there in a game for these guys under Will Muschamp, in a real game. I think, and for Auburn offensively, that's it's going to be a real test. Now, listen, is that the toughest game anticipated on the schedule? Absolutely not.
No, but I asked you, the first one that makes you sweat.
Yeah, you know, that first one always makes you sweat if you're playing a quality opponent, because you think you know, and the coaches will tell you the same thing, you think you know. You think you know what you got.
Right.
But flip the lights on and run them out there in front of a sold-out Georgia Dome. You know, you just don't know.
Right. A lot of pressure there. A lot of pressure. And then let's talk about this as you walk it through and people look to December, look to SEC championships and beyond. New system. New system here. Mm-hmm. Is it going from the BCS days? Are we better off in the SEC? Are we neutral? In other words, for chances of getting our best teams to the top of the game, or are we at a deficit?
I think it's a wash for the SEC. I really do. If anything, it might help a little bit because you do have the opportunity to get two in the playoffs. I think for college football, it is a super big win. I've heard a lot of people say, well, we got to get to eight. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that. I look at it a little differently. And this is me looking way ahead. Now, when I say way ahead, I'm thinking, you know, 4 or 5 years when we're more down the road. We're eventually going to end up with four super conferences. We're going to eventually end up with four, probably 16-team conferences. In that scenario, you're looking at those championship games as probably de facto quarterfinal games.
Sure.
Into the playoffs. So I'm not so sure you'll see a true 8-team playoff where you could have three or more teams from a conference. But I could see that happening. But I think overall the new system, the way they're doing it, I mean, look at last year. It was a mini version of the NCAA basketball tournament. A lot of things happened that were unexpected.
Yes.
But you still have to bring your game on that day in the semifinals, no matter what's happened up to that point, or else, you know what? You're going to come up short.
It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to hear more. Of course, we'll be hearing you starting with Tiger Talk in August, and then football wide open September 5th, right here on FM Talk 106.
Oh, by the way, Sean, we're going to be I'm surprising you with this. I think August 17th, our first show. Right now, we're pretty sure it's going to be over in Orange Beach at the Wharf somewhere. So come over and see us.
We know how to find you there. Good. And it's funny how y'all work that out. Hey, we're here. We're doing the show. We might as well go to the beach. Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Rod Bramlett, thank you for your time.
You bet.
All right. This is FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We'll do it all again tomorrow. I do want to check in with a man that I was listening to just last night, my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. Angelo, you and Johnny and the gang have me questioning the values of all kind of things in my house.
Well, it's one of those things that people start looking around and asking questions and talking about things and looking at things, and sometimes they're very surprised at what things are worth, and unfortunately sometimes not what they're not worth. They thought they were worth a whole lot more. But we have fun looking at stuff like that and talking to people about all sorts of different things.
Well, people think about what y'all do at the store, and we think precious metals, we think jewelry, but y'all are way into the collectibles as well.
We are. We do a lot of different things here at the shop. Everything, like you said, predominantly jewelry and coins, and obviously that's been extremely popular lately with the prices of gold and silver right now. But at the same time, there are a lot of other things out there. We deal a lot in collectibles. We have a lot of folks come by and talk to us about stuff, send us pictures, and many times what we'll tell them to do is sometimes rather than pack up a whole huge amount of this stuff, take a picture of it, message us on Facebook. You can find us there. Send us a message and say, this is what it is. This is what it's marked. Is it something you guys may or may not be interested in? And we can either make you an offer on it or tell you if it's something that you may want to try to find somebody else to sell it to. And a lot of times we can point you the right direction as well.
All right. Well, point us in the direction of Mobile Bay Coins in the physical world and the online world.
There you go. The physical world, we're in Midtown on Government Street. The address is 2204 Government. You can always give us a call at 251-725-1590 and online at mobilebaycoins.com, or just go onto Facebook and look up Mobile Bay Coins there.
And also we'll get to see pictures of you in studio.
There you go. Yeah, Johnny was very actively posting pictures last night, and we had a lot of fun. It was a good time. And I did want to ask you real quickly, are you ready for your movie tonight?
It's Sharknado 3. Am I ready? Yes. How about you?
I was surprised you were on the radio today. I thought you might be just at home waiting for 9 o'clock for that movie to come on. And You gonna watch the others before it, or you just
I will. And I'm taking tomorrow off to recover. We'll talk
to
about
recover.
It on Friday. All right, Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins, Paul Feinbaum, that guy. He's on the way next. Y'all be good.
Turning up your voice, FM Talk 106.5 WAVH FM, Daphne Bayman.